Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ezra. We are at chapter 2. This ought to be fun this morning. Try to focus on all these names and figure them out, right? We're looking at the census of the returnees, where Ezra carefully records the genealogies of all the 42,360 Jews who returned to their land. Let's look at verse 1 of Ezra chapter 2. Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this time that we have, and we thank you for the fact that nothing takes you by surprise, and we thank you for each opportunity we have to be here in your house and to learn more of your word. Father, I pray that we are attentive this morning to your word, that we are focused on you. The distractions of the world will go away, and we can just focus on you this morning. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So this section is divided into eight groups. Zerubbabel and his companions, number one. Number two, the Jewish families. Number three, the Palestinian towns. Number four, the priests. Number five, the Levites. Number six, the Nethinim. Number seven, Solomon's servants. And number eight, those with uncertain genealogies. This section ends with a list of totals in verses 64 through 67, and a short statement relating their arrival and the gifts they gave to the temple in verses 68 through 70. So verse 1, where it says the province, this refers to Judah, reduced from an illustrious, independent, and powerful kingdom to an obscure, servile province of the Persian Empire. The returning Jews were still considered subjects of Cyrus living in a Persian province. The Babylonian captivity lasted 70 years. This does not mean that every person was in captivity for the entire 70 years. Just as the captivity took place in stages, the release took place in stages too. It appears that God did not want them to lose contact with their heritage. Each person went back to his city. The Hebrews put much importance on the genealogy of their families. We see more and more of that going on in the world today. People are getting more and more involved in genealogies, and they've come up with all kinds of things where you can have your DNA tested and find out how much of each thing you are and all. And I know several years back my sister said she had it tested, and we come from a line of all kinds of different nationalities. I said my grandmother used to say we were the Heinz 57 variety. And I said, I never really put a lot of thought into going back through all that and figuring out where we originally came from. I know my family came from Ireland, on my dad's side, County Kerry, Ireland, and that was enough for what I needed to know. But the Jewish people were very, very, very intent on genealogy. It was very important to them, and tracing back their line and all. In verse 2, of Ezra chapter 2, it says, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, Banim, and the number of the men of the people of Israel. Zerubbabel, this man was the rightful leader of Judah in that he was of the lineage of David through Jeconiah. In 1 Chronicles chapter 3, it gives us the list of the son of David. So if you look at 1 Chronicles 3, verse 16, verse 16 of 1 Chronicles 3, it says, "And the sons of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah his son, Zedekiah his son, and the sons of Jeconiah, Asher, Salathiel his son, Malkiram also, and Padiah, and Shenazar, Jechemiah, Hashamah, and Nedabiah, and the sons of Padiah were Zerubbabel and Shimei, and the sons of Zerubbabel, Meshullam, and Hananiah, and Shalomith, their sister." He did not serve as king. We can look at Jeremiah chapter 22 at the curse on Jehoiakim's line in Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. Verse 24 starts out, "As I live, saith the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country, where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man Kaniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man in his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." But he was still in the messianic line because the curse was bypassed. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 12. Matthew 1, verse 12 says, "And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel." And then Luke chapter 3 and verse 27. Luke 3:27 says, "Which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Resa, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri." The curse of the messianic line for Christ was bypassed in Luke's genealogy by tracing the lineage through David's son Nathan. His name means seed of Babylon, indicating his place of birth. He, rather than Cyrus's political appointee, Sheshbazzar, from chapter 1, verse 11, led Judah according to God's will. Then Jeshua, the high priest of the first return, whose name means Jehovah is deliverer, he is called Joshua in Haggai chapter 1, in verse 1, where it says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying..." And if you look at Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, I'll just read it for time here. We're running a little bit behind. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Just a little time studying and you find out they are one and the same. I've mentioned many times, you can't just read through the Bible and expect that you know who it is, because sometimes the same name appears. Sometimes they're called by more than one name. One example, Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Saul of Tarsus, but he's better known as Paul. Same person, right? Just different period in time of his life. And so we have to do a little studying to be able to see where these things fall and where they're at. And so his father, Josedek, had been exiled in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 2. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Josedek, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the sons of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And then turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 15, if you would. First Chronicles 6:15 says, "And Jehozadak went into captivity when the Lord carried away Judah and Jerusalem by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar." So Josedek, and Jehozadak are one and the same. Again, it takes a little studying to find these things out. You can't just read through the Bible and say, well, there's different spellings there, so they're not the same person, when they could be. Or they might be the same spelling and not be the same person. So you just have to do some studying. And unfortunately, today people like to be spoon-fed, I guess is the term, and they don't like to do the studying that it takes to get through and find these things out. But he came from the lineage of Levi, Aaron, Eleazar, and Phinehas. Thus, he was legitimately in the line of the high priest. We can see in Numbers chapter 25. Starting in verse 10 of Numbers 25. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel." From Nehemiah to Mordecai, these are not the same men in Nehemiah or Esther. Again, a little studying and you find these things out. The number of the men of the people of Israel, these are listed either by the names of their ancestors or the names of their towns. Some returned with Zerubbabel in 536 BC, and others returned at a later date. This is a listing of the leaders of the families. Even though we see the names Nehemiah and Mordecai, this does not mean that they are the same as the prominent men with that name. These names given above are just a listing of the chief or prince of each family. Then in verses 3 through 20, various Jewish families are listed. This portion relates records of recognized family or clan. So verse 3 of chapter 2 of Ezra says that children of Parosh, 2,172. The children, this word is used throughout this list, means posterity or descendants. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 35 is an account that was kept of the families that came up out of captivity. See how sin lowers a nation, which righteousness would exalt. The posterity, or children, as the word is generally taken in this verse, of Parosh, that descendant either from Parosh or from that family whereof Parosh was the chief, and so for the rest of the list. From here to the end of Ezra 2, verse 35, a list is given of the captives that returned, described by the families they were of, their ancestors from whence they sprung, or the towns and cities to which they originally belonged, and by their numbers. Otherwise, nothing more of them is known. So look at Ezra 2. We're going to look at verses 4 through 13. I've grouped some of these together instead of doing verse by verse because there's not much about each section. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Ara, 775. The children of Pahath Moab, of the children of Jeshua and Joab, 2,812. The children of Elam, 1,254. The children of Zattu, 945. The children of Zakai, 70. The children of Bani, 642. The children of Bebai, 623. The children of Asgad, 1,222. And the children of Donakim, 666. The number of descendants of Donakim that go back into the land were 666. Immediately when I figured that out, I thought, well, that's an interesting number, isn't it? I mean, automatically that reminds you of the mark of the beast, the number, right? The number of the mark of the beast, 666. So that, I just found that kind of interesting. There are only two other scriptures in the Bible on Adonikim. Ezra 8:13, where it says, and of the last sons of Adonikim, whose names are these, Eliphelet, Jeel, and Shemaiah, and with them 70 males. Putting these two scriptures together, there is a message in it for the believers in the Lord. The latter sons, in a spiritual sense, are speaking of the believers in Christ. The two scriptures combined seem to be that message about the mark of the beast. Adonikim means, my Lord has risen. Eliphelet means God is deliverance. Jeel means God snatches away. And Shemaiah means Jehovah hears. It appears from the combination of these names that those who believe in the resurrection of the Lord will be carried away because God has heard and he is our deliverance. To me, this is saying believers will be saved from the mark of the beast by their catching away to God. I've had so many people over the years try to tell me that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you still have to take the mark of the beast, and we won't be here. There's no mark of the beast to take for believers who have been taken out with the rapture. We won't be here for that. So what's the big deal, folks? If you get saved, you don't have to worry about it. And yet, many don't want to follow what the Word of God says. They just want to follow what man has told them. And then picking up in verse 14 through verse 20, it says, the children of Bigvai, 2,056. The children of Adon, 454. The children of Adar, of Hezekiah, 90 and 8. The children of Bezai, 320 and 3. The children of Jorah, 112. The children of Hashem, 220 and 3. The children of Gibbar, 90 and 5. The children of Parosh list continues. In verses 21 through 35, these were people from various Judean cities. In this passage, the laity are identified by place names or towns. There is a geographical order to this list. It begins in the south with Bethlehem and Netophah and moves north to Anathoth and Asmaveth, then to the northwest and the old Gibeonite confederacy with Kirjathjearim, and then to the far north of Judah with Michmas, Bethel, and Ai, then to the southwest with Nebo, Magbish, Elam, and Haram, and then to the vicinity of Joppa with Lod, Hadid, and Ono, and finally to the northwest with Jericho and Sena. The children of Perish list continues in verse 21 through 35. The children of Bethlehem, 120 and 3. The men of Netoph, 50 and 6. The men of Anathoth, 120 and 8. The children of Azmaveth, 40 and 2. The children of Kirjath-Aram, Cherith and Beeroth, 740 and 3. The children of Ramah and Geba, 720 and 1. The men of Michmas, 120 and 2. The men of Bethel and Ai, 220 and 3. The children of Nebo, 50 and 2. The children of Magbish, 150 and 6. The children of the other Elam, 1,250 and 4. The children of Haram, 320. The children of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 720 and 5. The children of Jericho, 340 and 5. And the children of Sena, 3,630. This was a listing of the number of people who settled in each town. Gibbar, in verse 20, was speaking of Gibeon. Bethlehem is a city that is just 4 or 5 miles out of Jerusalem. Anathoth was the birthplace of Jeremiah. It had been a city of refuge. Azmaveth was on the northern outskirts of Jerusalem. Kirjath-Aram was in a much wooded area. At one time or the other, it had belonged to Judah and Benjamin. It appears that the fathers or grandfathers had told the younger generation where they were to return to after their captivity. Chephira was about 8 miles from the outskirts of Jerusalem and was occupied by Benjamin's tribe. Beeroth was a city of Benjamin as well. Ramah and Gaba were also Benjaminite cities. Michmas was a town between Bethel and Jerusalem. It was of the Benjaminites. Ai and Bethel are joining cities about 12 miles from Jerusalem. All these towns are near Jerusalem and seem to be surrounding her. I'm not going to go into any more of that because we get a pretty good picture of what's going on there. And then in verses 36 through 42, the priests and the Levites, we get more details about that in Nehemiah chapter 12. That's the next chapter, next book over, Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Nehemiah 12:1 says, "Now these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Malach, Hatush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Merimoth, Idu, Ginetho, Abijah, Miam, and Madiah, Bigla, Shemaiah, and Jorib, Jedidiah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, Jediah. These were the chief of the priests and their brethren in the days of Jeshua. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binnu, Bunai, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren, also Bakbukai, and Unai, their brethren, were over against them in the watches." There were 4,289 priests who returned, about a tenth of the total of the returnees, which is a surprisingly small number. Ezra 2:36 and goes on and says, "The priests, the children of Jediah, of the house of Jeshua, 973. In verses 36 through 39, the priests, each of their families, was ranged under its prince or head like those of the other tribes. It will be remembered that the whole body was divided into 24 courses, one of which in rotation discharged the priestly duties each week, and each division was called after the name of its first prince or chief. It appears from this passage that only four of the courses of the priests returned from the Babylonian captivity, but these four courses were afterwards, as the families increased, divided into 24, which were distinguished by the names of the original courses appointed by David. So if you look in 1 Chronicles 23, starting in verse 6, says, "And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites were Ladan and Shimei. The sons of Ladan, the chief was Jehiel and Zethem and Joel, three. The sons of Shimei, Shelomith and Hazel and Haran, three. These were the chief of the fathers of Ladan. And the sons of Shimei were Jahath, Zena, and Jeush, and Beriah. These four were the sons of Shimei. And Jahath was the chief, and Zizah the second, but Jeush and Beriah had not many sons, therefore they were in one reckoning according to their father's house. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel, four. The sons of Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name forever." Keep your hand there, because we're going to look at another one right there. We find the course of Abijah and Abia in 1 Chronicles 24:10. The seventh to Hekos, the eighth to Abijah. Subsisting at the commencement of the Christian era, we can look over in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5, says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." An account of them is given in this and the three following verses, and only four families are mentioned, those of Jediah, Immer, Pasher, and Haram, and the number of them amounted to 4,289. These, according to the Jews, were heads of four courses, which were all that returned from Babylon. And the priests, the children of Jediah, continue in verses 37 through 39 of Ezra chapter 2. It says, "The children of Immer, 1,052, the children of Pasher, 1,247, the children of Haram, 1,017. This is a listing of the priests according to their families. The high priest was from the house of Jeshua. These are all in the service of the Lord in the temple worship. Verses 40 through 42, three classes of Levites are mentioned. The first one, the regular Levites who assisted the priests. The second are the singers, and the third are the porters or doorkeepers. Asaph was an astounding musician in King David's day, and he had been appointed minister of music in the temple. In 1 Chronicles 15:19, it says, "So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound the cymbals of brass." In 1 Chronicles 16:5, it says, "Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemiroth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. His descendants were also official musicians. Psalms chapters 50 and 73 through 83 are attributed to him. In Ezra 2, verse 40, it says, the Levites, the children of Jeshua and Kadmiel, of the children of Hodaviah, 74. Now for the Levitical families, not priests, that is, the Levites proper, the singers, the doorkeepers, or porters, of the first, there were only two families, and these are both traced up to one, that as that of Hodaviah, or Judah. If you look at chapter 9 of chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. Or with Hodava, which is Nehemiah 7:43, the Levites, the children of Jeshua and of Kadmiel and of the children of Hodava, 74. Singers and porters who were reckoned in this, and with the two following verses, whose numbers were no more than 341, whereas in the times of David they were 38,000. 1 Chronicles 23:3 says, now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000. Then in verses 41 through 54, because the rebuilt temple would restore proper worship in Israel, certain people had particularly important roles. Gatekeepers locked and unlocked the temple doors and guarded the treasury. The descendants of Asaph, a musician appointed by David, who wrote many psalms, again, Psalm 50 and then 73 through 83, served as singers. The Nethinim, or dedicated ones, assisted the temple priests. Look at verses 41 and 42 of Ezra 2. The singers, the children of Asaph, 128. The children of the porters, the children of Shalem, the children of Adar, the children of Talmon, the children of Akab, the children of Taita, the children of Shobiah, in all 139. These were Levites in the service of the Lord who functioned in other areas than the priests. We see a distinction of Asaph's family as singers. The porters were keepers of the gates and doors. In verses 43 through 54, Nethinim, these were descendants of the Gibeonites who performed servile duties at the temple. The Nethinim were founded by David and his officials according to Ezra chapter 8, verse 20, if you turn there. Ezra chapter 8, verse 20, also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. These were Levites in the service of the Lord who functioned in other areas than the priests. We see the distinction of Asaph's family again as singers and the porters. Oops, lost my place, sorry. The Hebrew name means given, and is a variation of one of the descriptions of the Levites themselves, of whom God said in Numbers 8:16, for they are wholly given unto me. In 1 Chronicles 9:2, he says, now the first inhabitants that dwelt in their possessions and their cities were the Israelites, the priests, Levites, and the Nethinims. As the word Nethinim signifies to the congregation to be hewers of wood and drawers of water, but rather were those that were given by David to assist the Levites. Of these is an account from here to the end of Ezra 2:58, together with those who descended from Solomon's servants, who seemed to be the remains of the Canaanites in the land, whom Solomon made bondservants of. In 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 21, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able utterly to destroy. Upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto this day. And then who their posterity became proselytes, or those sprung from men that were domestic servants of Solomon's and valued themselves on that account. The number of the Nethinim and these together were 392. We'll read verses 43 through 54, and we'll end with that portion. The Nethinims, the children of Ziha, the children of Hasupha, the children of Taboth, the children of Keros, the children of Siha, the children of Padan, the children of Labana, the children of Hagabah, the children of Akab, the children of Hagab, the children of Salmai, the children of Hanan, the children of Gidel, the children of Gehar, the children of Reiah, the children of Rezin, the children of Nakoda, the children of Gazim, the children of Uzzah, the children of Pasi, the children of Besai, the children of Asna, the children of Mehunim, the children of Nephusim, the children of Bakbuk, the children of Hakufa, the children of Harher, the children of Basloth, the children of Mahida, the children of Harsha, the children of Barkos, the children of Sisera, the children of Thama, the children of Naziah, the children of Hatifa. And then we'll pick up next week, due to time, Lord willing, next week, in verses 55 through 58. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for all of your word. And even though some parts are harder to understand and to research, it's still important that we know the information that you've given to us. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish as we have morning service and the rest of the day. And thank you for just being there and working in our lives, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Intermission.